For our second feature, Ian Robertson has again found a short essay by Jonathan Mardle, which he would like to share with you. It was published in the Eastern Daily Press on the 18th of August 1954, about a holiday in Bacton.
Another essay by Jonathan Mardle, this time from the 18th of August 1954, over 70 years ago. Cronje and the Wagonette. The first thing I remember is my first seaside holiday. I think I was under 2 years old at that time, and curiously enough, I remember nothing about the sea except being pushed in a perambulator along the road, or probably a clifftop close to the sea, and carrying in my hand a butterfly net filled with poppies. Another thing I remember more vividly is sitting at breakfast in a bungalow in a meadow and a big brown cart horse putting his head through an open window to be fed with knobs of sugar. It also comes back to me that it was the first day of the holiday and a sunny morning, and the horse's name was Cronje. These things that memory selects for retention out of the very first impressions of childhood are unaccountable. I have checked these recollections with my parents. In the first place, they declare I was far too young on our first visit to Bacton to remember anything at all about it. In the second place, if I do indeed remember Cronje and the bungalow, I ought to recollect the truly memorable circumstances in which we arrived there. For my father was subject to highly original ideas, and no great respecter of the social conventions, which was strong at the time. To him, to think was to act, and the means he devised for getting himself and his family from Norwich to Bacton was to hire a tall wagonette and harness it to a heavy, hairy cart horse, Cronje, which he used in his business. He invited two of my aunts to accompany us on this expedition, and they, on seeing the equipage in which they were supposed to travel, refused with indignation and contumely to enter it. "Your poor mother," they still exclaim. My mother braved it, as she has braved many adventures since. My father was on the box, driving. In the spacious and highly public rear of the wagonette were my mother, the maid, and me. I do not know how long it took Cronje to clip-clop his ponderous way through the mildly astonished streets of Norwich, and thence over the 20 miles of dusty road to Bacton. It must have been at least 5 hours. I have no doubt that my father enjoyed it. As for my mother, she would have accepted it, like so many other eccentricities of her family, with equanimity. But the humour of it would not have been lost upon her. It would be a tale to tell in years to come. It is a tale that, for best effect, needs to be told in chorus, by my mother with relish, and by an aunt with a still vivid sense of outrage. My father, of course, pretends that there was nothing extraordinary about it at all. And as for me, I suppose that lulled by the leisurely plodding of Cronje's great hooves, the rumble of the wheels, and the scent of the hedgerows, I slept. But I do wish my infant memory had been kind enough to retain some part of that journey. Afterwards, there were many other holidays at Bacton that I do remember. We went, in a more conventional fashion, by train to North Walsham, and there we were met with a governess cart drawn by an elderly pony with a mouth like iron. He was said to have worked in a circus in his youth, which accounted for his habit of pulling constantly to the side of the road, where he would stop until redirected. Of course, there was nothing special about Bacton, just the bungalows, low sandy cliffs, the beach and the sea, and the mile-long walk along lanes to the church on Sundays. But it was heaven to us. Brimholme Priory which in its day was as holy and nearly as famous as Walsingham, meant little to us children, except that it was fun to scramble among the ruins. But we liked beachcombing, and after scouring tides, my father showed us the dark patches of clear sand where the old forest bed was exposed. Once we found a piece of mammoth's tooth, which was kept ever afterwards in a cabinet at home, along with bits of amber, an old French bayonet, a Chinese Buddha, and some fossilised jellyfish we found in a chalk pit. On account of the mammoth's tooth and amber, that cabinet always is a reminder of Bacton, along with primroses in Witton Woods, sand martins nesting in the cliffs, fishermen getting out a seine net in the moonlight to catch the mackerel that had driven a shoal of whitebait up to the very beach, cricket on the sandbanks at low tide, the warmth of the shallow water in the lows in August, the smell of oil lamps and the tinkling of the old rosewood piano in the bungalow, harvesting at Walcott with the farmer who still brewed his own beer, our first attempts at tennis on the rough court on the cliff top, games with the village boys who could take a rough spar of wood and cast it with a line and trace of hooks 50 yards out into the sea. All that was Bacton, and it all returned to me when a friend who knows and loves Bacton even better than we did drove me down there again on Sunday. There are tubular steel groins across the beach, put there after the great floods. I expect our bungalow is now in the sea, and the post office has moved to the other end of the village. But the Abbey stores and the King's Arms are still there, and the pebble walls and the bakehouse, where we used to take our roasts and pies to the baker's oven. They tasted better out of that oven than any others I've ever eaten. I remember the taste of the hard, iron-stained water out of the pump. I prefer it to our chlorinated town stuff. It brews better tea. There are many more bungalows, and alas, there are no more fishermen. But Bacton is still my special place. I think it was the open car and the smell of May in the hedges that set memory working. There is some remainder of the animal in me that remembers better and farther back by the sense of smell than by any other token. I have no conscious memory of my first journey to Bacton behind Cronje and the wagonette. But there was something in me that stirred as the car climbed the hill at Eddingthorpe towards the sea. Perhaps it was there that I awoke and smelt the hedges and the sea breeze all those years ago.